I'm going to enlist David Ritz to introduce me to Aretha.
When you say enlist him,
yes.
Do you know him?
I have a very good friend who I've been working with on this project who works with him.
A friend? Well, you know, I'm very, very close to David.
Okay.
I don't know if you know that.
No.
You know he co-wrote my memoir.
Yeah, I know, I know.
But,
do you want to call him?
Why should he be interested in getting involved in this?
You know, evidently they talked about it, and he said, look, I'd like to help. And I said, look, maybe we can get him
well, that's great.
You know, maybe we can get him.
And otherwise he's already assented to participate. That's great.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I saw they sent me they got the tapes from the vaults.
Yeah.
So I got to watch them.
And how do they look?
They look great. They're like the record where, you know, you listen.
They edited?
No. There is no cut, we found.
Yeah.
I got to see you run in and out of shot a couple times.
Yeah.
You look good, by the way.
See me now. I look like a senescent baboon.
Well, there's nothing quite like confidence.
Go ahead.
But
they still haven't found a release from her.
They have not found a release from her. And so what we're going to try to do, I mean, what I think is going to happen is they're going to give us, you know, a month or 2 months of discovery period where they hand over all the documents, blah, blah, blah. In that time, we will try to make a deal with her.
Oh, well, that's good. That cuts you a little slack.
Yeah. So they don't have any interest in it at Warner Brothers. But we're giving them a first look, I guess. I have not seen the papers, and the agent, who is a very good friend, you know, talks in very broad strokes, but he said to me yesterday they're going to let us buy it. So I said, okay, that'll be great.
Who's agent? Your agent?
My agent.
Oh.
He
talks in broad strokes?
Yeah, you've seen those agents before.
Okay, hang on now. The last thing you told me was that you were in hopes of, in the interim period, finding a written release from her.
Right.
It looks now as though you ain't going to find that. Isn't that correct?
Correct.
It looks now that you're going to have to dicker with her. You're going to have to go to Dick Allen.
Yes. According to Ritz, she's been holding it up the whole time, and she knows it.
Oh, well, he would go because he wrote a memoir.
Yeah, I know. That's why I went and started asking him.
Mm-hmm.
Because I figured that would be a smart way to start to...
Did he say what her reason was?
The reason she claimed to him was that the film crew filmed some of the choir in an inappropriate manner.
You mean some of those gay baritones were going down on each other?
Ah, man. I mean, amongst the things that I wanted to talk to you about after I saw the film was, whoa, what was going on there? Because there's some interesting dynamics, you know, when you listen to the record, it's different.
Well, Cleveland, of course, is gay.
Yeah.
And he had this little boy, a keyboard player who was a genius.
Who is that guy? Kenny Looper?
I guess that's his name.
He was the choir director? Is that the guy?
No. He was a kid keyboard player.
Okay. And was he the organist?
But you'll find his name in the credits.
There isn't any name in the credits. That's the weird thing, is that either there isn't the name of the choir director or there isn't the name of the organist.
Either one.
There's one, but there's not the other.
What about the rhythm section?
Well, the rhythm section I know is Pancho Morales, you know, Bernard, Chuck, and Cornell.
They are listed.
Yes.
But this little kid is not listed?
Right.
All right.
Kenny Looper is listed as the, what is he listed? As organ. But
if he's listed as organ, then he's the kid.
Okay, so he's the kid.
Yeah, in other words... A choir director is not listed specifically?
No. No, not that I could find.
Well, then he's a kid. He was so good that he replaced Richard T.
Yeah, that he replaced Richard. Pardon me.
He was so good that he was used on many selections. I don't know how many, maybe a majority, instead of Richard T.
So you flew Richard T. out here, and he didn't make the grade?
You know, some of them.
Wow.
But how would a car? Well, we used all the rest of the guys.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, the most unbelievable stuff is when they cut away to the band.
Yeah.
The band is unbelievable.
Of course, it's my band.
That band, you know, they do a thing at the... Because the interesting thing is, you know, watching it, knowing a little bit, you know, between nights one and night two. The play out as they walk off the first night, it's just the rhythm section, and it's jaw-dropping.
Let me tell you something. This will show you what level of record producer you're talking to. Listen to this. The idea of bringing a profane rhythm section into church is on a certain wild, you know, sometimes they even have one trombone and a clarinet, a tambourine or something. But to bring a lay rhythm section into church, number one, that's unheard of. Secondly, and this is very interesting. Nobody knows this. I brought them out there ahead of time so that they could rehearse with Cleveland.
Yeah.
Now, why should they have to rehearse with Cleveland? They're all black. They all have church provenance. They all come from church.
Yep.
All black.
Yep.
Somewhere in the DNA, somewhere in the environmental stimulus, there's church.
Yes.
However, they had been playing profane music all their lives, and they hadn't been playing church music. And there is a very subtle distinction between gospel syncopation and R&B syncopation. And I wanted them to get back there and relearn how to be stone black gospel, and I had them rehearse. And that's what I did. And what do you think of that?
Oh, it's, you know, it's phenomenal. And you know...
I never made a nickel off it, of course, and I never will.
Well, you know, but it's such a historic, you know, it's such a... My wife said to me when we were watching it, she said, it's a historical document. You know, I haven't even seen the part where Aretha's father gets involved.
Yeah.
But, you know... I'm just telling you that the play out between day one and day two, and you just have, and you can really just see Poncho really on Purdy and Chuck and Cornell in the corner, and the band is, I mean, slow simmer and cooking like crazy.
Who's on keyboards on those shots?
I can't tell because it's in the background.
He's the kid.
It must be the kid.
Yeah.
But the kid is great too.
That's what I'm telling you. If he could replace Richard T.
Oh, yeah. That's why I was, you know, when you said it to me, I said, I wanted to make sure you said it again, because I couldn't believe it.
Absolutely.
But,
I'll tell you something else. That record went triple platinum in the 90s.
Yeah.
It's the only platinum record that Aretha Franklin ever made with Atlantic Records, believe it or not. She never had a platinum record.
Unbelievable.
Neither did Ray Charles. How's that?
Ugh.
But for all the bullshit, all the so-called hip people who said, oh, man, I bought Ray Charles' record back, they're all full of shit.
Yeah, yeah.
He never had a platinum record. How's that?
Well, but, you know, just being watching the stuff, I don't give a shit about any of it at this point because you were there, and to see you guys... It's funny because Arif pops his head in every once in a while on there. Was Ahmet there or was he not there?
No, Ahmet wasn't there.
Okay.
Arif was in the truck.
Right. So, because Arif walks in every once in a while to check a mic or something like that.
Yeah.
And I think you do too in the middle of What a Friend We Have in Jesus. You walk right behind her.
Yeah. Whatever. Well, I was there. There was nothing that I really had to do, except sit there and be a witness. Because remember, these were official church services.
Yes.
So I couldn't stop and say, let's rehearse these eight bars here. It had to go forward. I couldn't stop it.
Well, you know, it was interesting.
And we didn't stop for anything, except if they stopped on their own, Aretha and Franklin. In other words, it was not like a regular studio session.
How did you handle that with the tapes in the truck? Did you just have tapes going, I mean, and did you ever run out and then have to switch to a different thing or anything like that? Or what was going on in the truck?
The truck is standard when we're doing location recordings. It's just standard. It's always the same.
Yeah. The other thing that was interesting to me watching them the 2 days was it seems like Reverend Cleveland tried to become a star, more of a star almost, in it. And correct me if I'm wrong. I mean, like, it looked like he tries to get in the mix a lot.
I don't know.
No?
I don't know. Listen, he's brilliant, still alive.
Yes. No, he's not alive anymore. He died a couple...
He was brilliant. He was great at what he did, and he was also a good keyboard man himself.
Yes, yes, he's marvelous.
So, I mean, he was for real.
Oh, yeah, no, there's no joking around. He...
And, of course, he was gay, obviously.
Yeah.
Like we used to say back in the pool room, he was queerer than Faust.
My father used to say he was a little bit minty.
Or we used to say queerer than Dick's hat band. sure, he went, would. He's a narcissist, you know, and he wants to grab whatever he can. And why shouldn't he? Listen, it's his house, it's his playroom.
Yes.
Why shouldn't he?
Yes. Well, I saw that the second night feels more together.
Listen, I'll tell you what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
Unless you don't want me to.
I do. Whatever it is, I want you to.
I'm going to call Dick Allen.
Okay.
And ask him what her problem was and what kind of a deal she's looking for.
No, don't ask him yet. Don't ask him until we know what it is.
Don't talk funny.
Yeah, when we get the...
Then I'm not going to talk to him at all.
Yeah, don't do it now, because we don't have the deal, and I'm trying not to get anybody pissed off at me now, because I feel like I'm, you know, almost there.
Also, you may be alerting some other entrepreneurs to say, wait a minute.
No, I know we did it. It was funny because, you know, I showed it to the guy... who's the head of post-production at Warner Brothers, because he had to give me the DVDs to take home.
Yeah.
And he looked at him, he said, oh, my God. He said, what? He said, I can't believe this.
And are these DVDs of the services?
Yes. Yeah.
But could you find it in your heart to send them to me?
Yes, I will. I'm trying to get them to, because right now all they've given me are dailies. So there's...
Well, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd love to see them.
I will. I promise.
Burn them and send them to me.
Yes, I will. I promise you in the next couple... I'll get them to you.
I'm not going to put them on eBay.
No, I know. I'm not waiting for you to put them up on your website.
Yeah.
But, you know...
I don't have one, by the way, and I'm not online.
It's okay. Even if you did, I don't give a shit. But what else was I going to tell you?
I'd love to see them.
The guy...
I told you I'm very, very sick. You know that, don't you?
Yeah, I don't believe you. I think you're getting better.
Oh, man. That's a nice flip offhand response, but I am very, very sick.
What do you got?
Stenosis of the aortic valve, if you know what that is.
Mm-hmm.
The aortic valve...
Doesn't sound good.
It's closing down. I have a disease called myelodysplasia, which is the inability of the bone marrow to manufacture white cells, red cells, platelets, and so on, and the necessaries of the immune system. And I go for an injection every week, and that particular, the road to leukemia.
Ugh.
I also have very, very severe IBS, which cost my life. I'm very, very sick.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
It's a daily hell, okay?
Yeah.
Talking to you is a distraction.
Good.
Yeah. All right, listen, can we close it for now?
We can close it whenever you want or open it whenever you want. I'm always here for you.
But please send me burn some DVDs.
I'll yes. Do that. No, I will. And the other thing I wanted to ask you about is how do we get it, I mean, is there a way to get a conversation so you can have a conversation with Aretha at a certain point?
Oh, I'm not going to get into that.
No way.
Yeah, I can talk to her, but I'm not going to be, I'm not going to run interference. I'm not going to be the blocking back for you.
No. I'm talking about when we get the deal done. Because the thing that,
when you get the deal done, what do you need me to talk to her for?
Because you're the only two people that actually know what's going on with this record. And, people know what's going on. I know what's going on with the record.
But wait a minute. What do you need me specifically? If you get the deal done, you don't need me.
No, but I'd like to have, this is truly a historical document.
And unless you want some input from me about this.
Well, that too. But, the idea of getting the two of you.
Did I not write the liner notes?
Yes.
Oh, you can.
Well, I think John Hammond wrote some of the liner notes, too.
John wrote some?
Yeah. But the idea, look. If, we only got so much time on this earth. You did your best work with this woman. There's no reason you should be fighting and fussing, going to your grave. And it breaks my heart that, that you do such amazing work and you guys can't have a conversation. And I understand it's, not any of my business, but you know my love for what you've done. And I have a great time talking to you.
I appreciate it. By the way, did I tell you Aretha called me a couple of weeks ago?
No, you didn't tell me this.
She called me, and it was a half hour of love and nostalgia for the first time in I don't know how many decades.
That's beautiful. Good.
I think Dick Allen might have something good. Dick Allen loves me. And he's the only agent that I love. I have a distaste for agents.
Yes, well, you know, it's an acquired distaste.
He's a great guy. Listen, I got to knock off.
Good. We'll talk later.
All right.
Feel good.